Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 247, stanzas 1 and 3 through 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. 1 and 3 through 6 of Psalter 247.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 32nd Psalm, Psalm 32, a psalm of David Mashgill. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in and with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And so far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who dost make manifest thy great long suffering in this morning hour, and when thou dost permit us all together to not only end the old, but also to enter into the new year, then it behooves us, each and every one, young and old together, to acknowledge thee. But Lord, we have it not in our hearts, none of us as it ought to be. Oh, that thou may give it unto us, for upon thee are we dependent, for all things also, for an acknowledging heart. But then we stand also in the beginning. Lord, then we in this day do customarily read the names of those whom thou hast taken out of this life in the year that is gone by. And then there are in this morning hour no names that may must be read in this morning. And thou hast spared in the year gone by each and every one. And it cannot so continue because we have sinned in our father Adam. And thou didst say, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Oh, then it is so unnecessary that with our children we may be prepared to meet thee in peace and in righteousness. And Lord, then when we stand in the beginning of this new year, oh, then we beseech of thee in the first place this blessing, oh, this most necessary blessing, that blessing that we cannot miss. If we would not stand in that last day and beseech one another, give us of thy oil, for our lamps are gone out. Oh, do grant us life with our children. May it be a year of profit when we may be together in thy house. Could it please thee in thy favor and with thy indispensable blessing resting upon the work that is done in thy house and the catechizing also. Lord, that thou may remember when thy word does go forth in the preaching and in the reading. When thy word that is also spoken to our children as parents in our homes. When we may try to instruct them in the way of life. When we must warn them from the ways of sin. Wilt thou grant thy blessing, thy spirit, to bring it further than the ear, to give the practice in the life, oh, to give the heart to desire and to long after thee, the Most High God, oh, that it may be in young and old together, that it may be a year that is unforgettable, even a year to acknowledge thee to a great eternity. Oh, we can read in thy word there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, could it please thee to give joy in heaven in this year? Oh, could it be many times in the midst of us as a congregation, oh, that from Sabbath to Sabbath, thy word may find a place, that it may be effectual in the heart of sinners, and that when thou wilt speak with thy spirit to say, live, and that our heart should be raised from the dead, that we may begin to mourn for our sin and to cry out after the true and the living God. Oh, that it may be a year wherein the inner chambers are filled, oh, for the first time or by renewal, that there may be a secret religion in the midst of this city, in the midst of our congregation, oh, that there may be a people who cannot miss their Maker, and that do long and that do search and seek for Him. Lord, we beseech Thee to stretch forth thy mighty arm and remember us also as a denomination. O Lord, that thou may remember thy truth and that it may be preserved among us and that our arising generation may not have to miss that which we may have received in our youth from our fathers, but that thou may protect that old tried truth that is according to the meaning of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, that our arising generation may also be given to experience that truth within, that it may become so precious unto them. Oh, that there may be those that may be raised up as office bearers, that may stand for that truth and for care of the afflicted and the needy within thy church. O Lord, that thou may look upon thy servants that thou hast sent forth into this world among Jew and Gentile, in the established churches and to those who have never heard thy word. Do increase their number in the year that lies before us. Send them forth with power, Lord, and give instruction that they may receive help from above time after time, that thy kingdom may come also in the nations in which we live. Remember thou our rulers, that thou wouldst set in office those who do fear the holy name of the Lord, and that would lead us back to thy word and to thy testimonies. That we may be brought once again as nations to our knees, and that thy dealings with us may have fruit, and that together we may honor thy holy name, and that we may honor thy Sabbath day, that the children in the womb may be spared from the sword. That thou may look upon us as nations in thy mercy, and judge us not according to our many sins. Lord, remember all the afflicted ones. Thou knowest those that have serious diseases, and that do fear for the future. Those that have become old also, and that have ailments in the body, and that do enter with trembling in this morning, in this new year, knowing not what lies before them. But could it please thee to stand on the right and on the left, and to prepare each and every one of us for that great meeting with thee. Wilt thou look upon all those that have special needs which are known to thee and may not be known unto us, fathers and mothers? Give love for one another and supply strength, diligence and faithfulness in the bringing up of our children. Do cause us to flee from all the vanity that is in this world, from the evil of this world that does draw our natural hearts, that the things of eternity may be laid upon our hearts, that we may be given to walk in a way that is not offensive in the midst of the congregation, and that all together we may seek for the welfare of one another, warn one another from walking in the ways of sin, and to beseech one another that we may seek and that we may find while it is still called today. Then give love in the midst of the congregation, true love that may be for our soul's welfare for that great eternity. Lord, do help us as a consistory also in all that lies before us. Wilt thou supply for us in the preaching in of thy holy word, and that we may feel that thine everlasting arms are underneath, and that we may feel continually that thou dost help us, and that thou would not forsake us as we so justly deserve. But wilt thou do it for thy great name's sake and for the welfare of young and old in our midst. Be with us also as a consistory. Help us time after time in the labors of our hands. And wilt thou bless and sanctify the work of our hands. Remember us in this morning hour. Be with any that may not be able to be in our midst. Be with them in their places. Bless us undeservedly. Forgive all of our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing So from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. We announce that there is one collection today that is for the mission and for the mission calendars. Psalter 163, all stanzas.
Thank you.
Congregation, on behalf of the consistory, we would like to wish each one of you the blessing of the Lord in the new year, that we may be permitted to enter in this morning hour, and that the Lord may grant to each one of you His blessing upon your daily labors in this life, His blessing also in the midst of your families. But may the Lord in a special way grant His blessing upon our labors, because they are the labors and that are for our welfare not only, but they are the labors that are for the welfare of our never-dying souls. Do we see it as such? And when we look forward, when we look into the future, is this the blessing that our soul cannot miss over and above all the blessings that we are desiring of the Lord and asking of the Lord and laboring for also day by day in the midst of this world? With the Lord's help, we wish to consider this in this morning hour from the words of our text, which you can find in Psalm 32, the sixth verse. Psalm 32, verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. So far the words of our text. A time when thou mayest be found. First, the means of this finding. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee. Second, and the time of this finding, in a time when thou mayest be found. And third, the fruit of this finding, surely in floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thus, a time when thou mayest be found. First, the means of this finding. Second, the time of this finding. And third, the fruit of this finding. Our text, congregation, that speaks about finding a time when thou mayest be found. What does it mean to find? A word is used in several different ways. Sometimes we find something just by accident, as it were, something that we have not been looking for, but we are walking along the road and we find something, boys and girls, or we are speaking to someone and in our conversation, then we come upon something, we find something, as it were. And so we read of the Lord Jesus, and that he speaks about the centurion, and that he says, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. More often that word is used in a different sense. More often that word is used for that which is taking place after much searching, when there is something that we miss and that we begin to look for, and after we have long been looking and finally we do find it, we do come upon it. And so we can read how that Joseph and Mary, and they have missed the holy child, and for 3 days they were searching and searching, and finally they found him. Where was he, boys and girls? He was in the temple. He was in the temple. And he was sitting amidst the doctors, and he was asking them questions and also answering questions. Oh, where does your mother and father sometimes find you? Will they find you also doing such a thing in the year that lies before us? Or will they find you only in all the things involved in this world? We can read in the word of the Lord Pilate that he also found something. It was after diligent search, after a diligent examination of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he found something. And then he found what? He found that there was no fault in him. Is that not a wonder? O congregation, if we would now be searching, if we would now be seeking in this coming year for that which our soul does need, and we may find with Pilate, after a long searching, that there is no fault in this man, oh, when there may be just a little place in our heart, then what a profit, what a blessing that our soul may receive. And this is, now the sense of our text. That is not just an accident, no, but this is a finding that it is speaking about after a long and a diligent search. And what is the object of that search? For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Thus, we read of two expressions here that speak about the object of that searching. One says, for this. The other is, thou mayest be found. We need to go back to the previous verses when we ask, what is it that the psalmist speaks about when he says, for this? Then what do we read? We read, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, or whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Thus David describes the man that is truly blessed. Then he says it is a man that is that has all of the wisdom of this world, a man that has prosperity in this world, a man that is without affliction, the man that is without persecution, the man that may have his heart's desire. No, he doesn't say this at all. He says that man that is truly blessed is that man whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Do you believe this? Or does your heart agree with the psalmist? Can you say amen also to that opinion of David when he speaks about that man whom he says is truly blessed? Then David speaks here about two things that makes a man truly blessed. And what are they? That is both justification and sanctification. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, that is justification, and in whose spirit there is no guile, that is sanctification. Thus, blessed is the man who is forgiven by the Lord, and blessed is that man that is washed, that is cleansed by the Lord. And that is now what David means when he says, For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. For this, David says, these two things, all that the Lord would not impute to us our iniquity, and that we may be washed, that we may be sanctified, for these two things a man will pray. When he will receive these two things, then what? Oh, then there is no more cause for separation. No more separation from whom? From thee. Then he says, in a time when thou mayest be found. Oh, have we not found him? When we have been justified, when we have been sanctified. Thus, these two things, for this and thou, they are actually one and the same. The one that is leading unto the other, that forgiveness and that washing that is leading unto what? It is leading unto reconciliation with thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Is that not a great wonder? That there is a time that thou may be found. Is it not a great wonder that God even may be found? Is it not a great wonder that there is a way back unto him after that we have left him in our father Adam? And now this whole scripture from Genesis to Revelation, that is a testimony to you and to me of what? A testimony that God may be found. That is the very reason for the special revelation of the Lord. We cannot find him through the natural creation, but the Lord has given unto us the special revelation. Why? Because he may be found. Or is that a wonder also to some of us? Is there now such a desire in your heart that you may find him, that you may be reconciled to him, that you may come back into his favor and into his communion? Does your soul miss him? But how is he found? And who does find him? How does the Bible portray fallen man? How does the Bible portray the elect vessels of the Lord as they are born in this world? Does the Bible portray them as those that are seeking after God? It does not. By Ezekiel, the Lord says it three times over again, that when the Lord finds his people, they are lying in their own blood. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. No, the Lord did not find that people seeking after him. What does David say? The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, to see if there were any that did seek after God. And what did he find? They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Thus we have the clear declaration of the Holy Scriptures of the utterly dead state of fallen man. Every single one. There is not one with a single desire after his Maker. Utterly fallen in death, in trespasses, and in sins. That is the reality. Do you ever feel that reality? Do you ever feel that reality? Oh, last night, we may hear a little something of what the Lord Jesus says it is going to be like on that great day. We may hear a little something of the distress that is going to be in the heart, in the life of that natural man who has come and gone from that place of the holy. What can that do to us? Or does that now make us, congregation, a seeker of the Lord? Does that make us to pray unto him? Maybe you say, I can hear it. I can hear it with my ears. I can receive it with my mind. And yet I am not able to break my hard and my stony heart. I am not able to bring it within me. I am not able to give myself life. And yet what do we read here? Here we read in our text that David speaks about a people who pray. A people who pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Though the Lord declares in his word that we are by nature dead in trespasses and in sins, yet David says there is such a people in this world that do pray. And not only to pray, but in this word to pray, and then he includes the use of all the means of grace in an earnest way. Who are they? David also says who that they are. For this, he says, shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee. That same word as we read here, godly, that we read also in Psalm 4. But know thou that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The English version of the Dutch Staten Bible translates this word as saint. For this shall every saint pray unto thee. The Bible that says that the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God, it says, is not in all of his thoughts. But that moment that the Spirit of the Lord begins, there is a great change. Oh, that moment that the Spirit of the Lord makes a man alive, when the Lord finds him polluted in his own blood, a man that has to go to his home and has to say, oh Lord, Lord, I cannot break that hard and that stony heart of mine. Oh, I cannot give to myself that new life. Even a man that has concern in the natural mind. Oh, when that Spirit of the Lord is coming, then in one moment, there is a change. Thus, prayer that is seeking, that is a fruit of the Spirit's work. The Lord, He is not only a prayer-hearing God, He is not only a prayer-answering God, but the Lord is also a prayer-giving God. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee when thou mayest be found. Thus our text that speaks about God being found. Thus man is the seeker and God is the object of his seeking. Congregation, what a wonder that this is not the beginning. Because when this would be the beginning, then there would be in our midst an utter despair. An utter despair in the heart of whom? An utter despair in the heart of those who have to confess and that they feel the deadness of their heart. Then they may say, oh yes, he may be found of those who will seek after him. But I cannot find in my heart, anything that will pray aright and that will seek after him aright. And therefore it is so hopeless for my case. Oh, what is the object of the seeking of the natural man? The object of the seeking of my natural heart is all this world. The object of the seeking of my natural heart is all that is going to pass away. Or is there hope? Is there hope that this congregation could change? Is there hope that I could be made also into such a one as the psalmist here calls godly? Is there hope that my heart also in the year to come could be made into one of those that are seeking after him? Oh, there is hope for this. If there was no hope for this congregation, and then we might just as well go home. And then we might just as well cease our preaching. But there is hope for this. No, there is not hope for this. Because there is only a sickness in the midst of the congregation. And because there is still something good that may be found in the heart of the natural man, there is not hope for this. And because a man has an ability to bring that word of God in such a way that it is able to grasp that natural heart of the man and to make him a seeker after God. No, there is no hope for this from anything from the side of man. But there is hope for this from the side of the Lord. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee. Upon what is that praying, that seeking dependent? It is dependent upon the Lord seeking man. The Lord Jesus tells several parables about seeking and finding. And who is in the first place the seeker? And what is the object of his seeking? Oh, it is God. It is God who is the seeker. And man is the object of his seeking. We read the Lord Jesus. He tells a parable of the lost sheep. And then he speaks about that shepherd. How that he is leaving the 99 in the wilderness. And he is going to seek out that lost sheep. And then when he returns with that sheep,
And then he is returning rejoicing. Oh, then we read the Lord Jesus tells a parable about a woman who has 10 coins and she has lost one of them. And that woman, she is sweeping the house diligently until she does find this coin. And when she does find it, then what? Oh, then we read, then she rejoices. And then the Lord Jesus makes the application. And what is his application? Then he says, in the same way, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Thus the Lord Jesus shows how that God, he is seeking out his church, and then he finds them. And then what? Oh, and then repentance is the fruit of that finding. And when a man is repenting, he begins to miss God. He begins to seek God. He begins to long. He begins to pray for him. That was the work of the prodigal. When the Lord did turn the heart of this man, we read, he was lost and he is found. Thus, that praying, that seeking, that is a fruit of the seeking hand of the Lord, of God himself. When the Lord came to Saul and the Lord stopped Saul, then we read that the Lord says of Saul, behold, he prayeth. Oh, therefore, congregation, there is hope for those who do lie in this morning hour, polluted in their own blood. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee. And then the Lord Jesus, he tells some other parables. And then he speaks about this fruit of his seeking. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man findeth, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he findeth the one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Oh, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee, dependent upon the sovereign and powerful operation of his Holy Spirit. Does the Lord do this? Oh, yes, the Lord does that. That is now the very work for which the Son of God was ordained. What do we read? That he may seek and save that which is lost. There is the hope of the natural dead sinner. And then they shall begin to miss God. And then they shall begin to pray for him and seek him. When? In a time when he may be found. That is our second thought last night. Then we heard about a time when he may not be found anymore. In Genesis 1, we read, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let it be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. That congregation was the beginning of time. The psalmist says he appointed the moon for seasons, and the sun knoweth his going down. The beginning of time. Time was part of the creation of God. It belongs unto the creation. And to his providence, that is, the upholding of the creation,
also the upholding of time. After the flood, we read the Lord promised, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and night and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Thus time, the beginning, the creation of time, and then the upholding of time. And then the Lord speaks about one more thing, and it is about the end of time. In Revelation 10, John saw an angel stand on the sea and on the earth, and he lifted up his hand to heaven and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. That is, congregation, the end of time. That is what we heard of last evening, that midnight cry that the bridegroom cometh. That is the time that time shall cease. That is the time in which there will be no more time. That is the time when that door shall go shut, so that he cannot be found anymore. But now today is, children, what day? It is New Year's Day. And this day that is to us a testimony. A testimony of what? A testimony that that day that is not yet come. That the Lord still is giving an extension of time. Thus, there will be a time when he may not be found anymore. But there is also a time that he may be found. That is the time between the beginning of time and the end of time. And for us, each one, it is the time between the cradle and the grave. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Thus, the Lord declares that he may be found in the time. Is there not a great wonder? And not only so, but the Lord declares that the godly, that his people, they shall pray and they shall seek for him in that time. When the Lord converts his people, what does he plant in them? Faith. They begin to believe. What do they begin to believe? They begin to believe the Holy Bible. They begin to believe that what that Bible that is saying is the Word of God, that it is true. And what does the Bible say about time? Apostle Paul, he says, but this I say unto the brethren, the time is short. David, he asked the Lord, remember, Lord,
how short my time is. James says, we know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Time, that is something we cannot stop, that we cannot hurry, we cannot slow it down, as it is pushing each one of us moment by moment closer to our eternal home. We sang it together. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears its sons away. Now, congregation, what is the most significant aspect of that short and that uncertain time? What is the most significant aspect of time? It is that it is a time wherein God may be found. This is what is now laid on the hearts of the godly, that there is only but a short time that they may receive the desire of their heart. And then it will be too late. And therefore we read, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Then they begin to pray. Then they begin to use the means in earnestness. How is that in your life? It is a mark. We read here a mark of the godly. We read here a mark of that true church of God. Can that mark be found in your life? Bunyan shows a man, he has his back to the city of destruction, and his face that is heavenward. Why? Short time, that the Lord may be found. What does Paul write? He writes, but this I say, brethren, and the time is short, it remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time wherein thou mayest be found. No, there is no question about it. They shall pray unto him in that time. Why? Because it is the fruit of the work of the Lord. And now what shall be the outcome of that praying, of that seeking? David also says this. Let us sing first. 104, 3, 4, 5, and 9. Make me, O Lord, to know my end. Teach me the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am, and turn from pride and sinful ways. 3, 4, 5, and 9 of 104.
our last thought, the fruit of this finding for this. Shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found? There is no question. They shall pray, and they shall pray in that time. Why? Because we heard it. It is a fruit of the Lord's own work. And what will be the outcome? That is also sure. That is no less certain. Surely, we read, thus there is no question about it, that when the Lord begins, the Lord is also going to make an end. Surely, in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. The floods of great waters, what are they? We read, children of two men. One built a house on the rock, the other built it on the sand. And then the rains descended and the floods came. What does it speak about? The judgment. The psalmist, he says, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods, they lift up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Oh, that is what threatens judgment. That is what threatens death. And now what do we read here? Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. They shall not be able to touch him. What does that mean? Oh, if the judgment is not able to touch us, that means that we are right with the law. It means that there is no wrath against us. Thus, David, he speaks about receiving the desire of his heart. Or what had he said? Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Or when that transgression is forgiven, when that sin is covered, and when the Lord does not impute iniquity anymore, in whose spirit there is no guile, and when he is justified, when he is sanctified, then he can meet his judge. And then the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. No, there shall be no reason for him to fear. He can die. He can meet God. David says, this shall surely be. To whom? To everyone that is godly, that prays unto thee for this in a time when thou mayest be found. This praying in the time that he may be found is the means to receive this great blessing. And the Lord has every intention to give it to every one of his children. But he will do it through the means. He will work it in them that he may bring them in. And then he will grant them their heart's request. That is why he says, ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Why? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Yes, they shall find. And then they shall receive that blessing that the Lord has in store. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Congregation, it is the new year. Time has been extended to each and every one of us. That is a great
privilege, the greatest privilege that we can receive. Why? Not that because now we can enjoy this life. Why is that the greatest privilege? Because this is a time wherein the Lord may be found. And if we do not find Him in the time, we shall not find Him after the time. Because after time, He cannot be found anymore. Thus, time. Time that is the most precious thing that we have in our life. Not your beautiful truck, young people. Not your comfortable home, parents. No, time. Time is the most precious commodity that we may have in our life. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Sometimes we hear that awful expression, "I'm just killing some time." Then we do not understand how precious that our time is. Time. Time is short. Time is uncertain. Solomon says, "We know not what a day may bring forth. We know not what a year may bring forth." Time is short. Time is uncertain. But what is the most significant aspect of time that is? That in it, God may be found. And that time that is ticking away. Moment by moment. Did you ever watch a clock, boys and girls? Go home and sit by the clock a moment. And just look. And listen. And listen to it go, moment by moment, that time wherein the Lord may be found. And then think to yourself, every moment that is now gone, can I get back again? It can never be recovered. It is gone forever. And then think that there are only a certain number of those moments that are granted to us. The Lord knows how many, some more, some less. But for you and me, there is a number. There is a number. And we are going closer and closer unto that number. And not one of those moments can we ever receive back to all eternity. That is why the apostle, he says, redeem the time. Redeem the time. What does it mean? Buy it back. No, we can't get back what we have lost yesterday, last year. But he says, now the new year, will you buy it back? What you still can, all time. And there are so many things that are competing for our time. There are so many things that are competing for that time, that short time, that uncertain time, that the Lord may be found. Your employer wants some of them.
some of those moments. And you have to give them to Him because the Lord commands you to do so. 6 days doing your labors. And your family wants some of those. And your husband and your wife want some of those. And your business wants some of those. Your education, young people, they all want some of those moments, some of those precious moments that are allotted to you, wherein the Lord may be found. Then how about the rest? How about the rest of those precious moments? Moments that the Lord may be found that are moment by moment passing into eternity. What will we do with them in the year that is to come? That is extended to us in order that the Lord may be found. Oh, play, that is a child's work. We do not deny that to our children. But how is it now, congregation, with us as adults? The Bible that says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. You say, I need some recreation. I need some rest. We will grant you that. We will grant you that. But remember that it is a time wherein the Lord may be found. And there is a different time coming. You say, I like to have a hobby. I don't spend too much time. We will grant you that. But remember that that is time wherein the Lord may be found. And there is a different time coming. You say, I like to search the internet. I like to learn new things. We will grant you all that. But remember that they are moments, minutes, hours, that the Lord may be found, and that there are only a certain number of them, and that there is a different time coming. You say there is nothing wrong with doing this or doing that. Yes, we all have our thing. But remember that they are moments wherein the Lord may be found. In congregation, there is a different time coming. A time coming when He may not be found anymore. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. What will your life be in the time of this new year? The Ethiopian eunuch, he is riding back in his chariot. What is he doing with his time? He is reading that holy word of God. And he is searching. Why? Because his time was short. This was a time when the Lord may be found. Oh, will you have a little time? Will you have a little time to come up to the house of God? Will you have a little time to come the second time
on the Sabbath day or an extra time? Will you have a little time to search out God's people, to speak to them, to ask them a few questions? Will you have a little time? Yes, beside that time, and that we out of form and custom read the Word of God at our tables. Will you have a little time to dig, to search, to read, to pray, to sing? In that time that is extended to us by the Lord in this morning hour. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found, and they shall receive the reward. They shall not be made ashamed, surely. In the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words, but it is thy word. And we are given that precious gift in this morning hour, a little extension of our time that is so undeserved. For we have sinned against thee. O Lord, we have heard a little. We are so dependent upon thee, upon thy Spirit, upon thy working. Wilt thou come, bless this word in the hearts in this morning hour, that it may be pricked while we are lying polluted in our own blood, that we might live, and that we may begin to pray, that we may begin to seek, because thou sayest, those that seek me, they shall find me. Lord, wilt thou go with us then? Wilt thou keep us further in this day from sin and evil, danger and harm? Help each one in the circumstances of their lives. Bring us with desire in thy house in the day of tomorrow. And do help us also to bring thy holy word once more. Wilt thou be with us also in these moments after this service, when we hope to gather with the male members of our congregation for just a few moments? Give us wisdom, and wilt thou supply in all our needs, forgiving all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 72, 1, 2, and 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye, and seek my face, my heart and lips, their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. Psalter number 72, 1, 2, and 4. And afterwards, before the doxology, we ask you to remain seated.
is our custom that we may say a few words unto you and also unto the congregation. And when we have been in the house of the Lord last night and this morning, then also you're kind of thinking, Reverend, what do I have to say? Because I was thinking to read one verse out of Jeremiah 23. And really, I don't have to say it, but I still will read it what it says here. In Jeremiah 23, verse 28b, and it says here, "And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, said the Lord." Reverend, that is our wish as consistory, as congregation, that you may bring that word faithfully. And if we take that word faithfully, we could also place there truthfully. But if we have heard it also this morning, then that is the truth, Reverend. That is what we need to hear. Truthfully, because it says here, what is the chaff? What has it to do with the wheat? The chaff, we as farmers, we all know what it is. It has lots of volume. But you take up a hand, you blow, and it is gone. But that wheat, that has sustenance. So it's also the word of God. That word of God that has food for the soul. That is what we need, Reverend, upon our way, in the little bit of time that we have, to that never-ending eternity. Because it also says here in verse 29, "Is not my word like as a fire, said the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" What does Jeremiah want to say here? It is the word of the Lord. Is not my word like as a fire? Does the fire not have a twofold effect upon the matter? Does the fire not also harden the clay? Does the fire also not melt the wax? Does the fire not purge away the dross? It burns it off, but it also purifies the gold. And Reverend, when you may bring that word faithfully and truthfully, according to God's word, and then that work is laid upon you. It comes from the Lord. It's not an easy work. It's a difficult work. It is a precious work. But it is also a necessary work, what is yet needed also today. And then congregation, if we may also use this opportunity, if we may hear that word faithfully, it has that twofold effect. It does one or the other. Reverend, when you may bring that word faithfully, you will notice that it will harden, also as that the clay is hardened by the fire, but it will also melt the wax. What do we want to say with that? And I don't have to throw stones this morning. No, I don't. I only have to look here in my own heart. Because then what it does, if it actually hardens us, then we will call home congregation, and it will say, "I did not understand it. What did he mean with that? What did he say? This is not what I want to hear. I want to hear something different." Then our heart, it is just as hard as this rocky behind me. And do you know why I can say that? I don't have to look in your heart, because I know my own heart. Last night, you who were here, you have heard the word. Right? That solemn, precious message that we heard, the one over the other. Do we have now that oil, or do we not have the oil? I said afterwards, what a solemn message. And do you know inwardly, it left my heart as hard as this rock here. This morning when I woke up, I thought, Lord, would it ever be possible? Would it ever yet be possible? And then this morning when we hear that, when he also, the Reverend, mentioned that first out of Ezekiel 16, live when thou art yet in thy blood, live in the twice over. What a precious chapter. Reverend, we'll stop with this. But may that be that the Lord upholds you. May that be our prayer, brothers. May that be our prayer congregation for our servant. He is also yet allowed to remain with us. He had to decline the call to Linden. What a blessing that we may yet have it. That the Lord may faithfully undergird our minister. That he may also may give unto him. That he may also speak more out of it all the time. More and more. And do we know what we then will notice? Then we will hear something. And well, that we will close. And that we can hear in the Psalm of Psalter 334. Then we hear, then those people, they will sing. And it says, "Thy word shed light upon my path. A shining light, it guides mine feet." 334, the first one. Congregation and Reverend, may that be, that thy word shed light upon my path. A shining light, it guides mine feet. Thy righteous judgment to observe, mine solemn vow I now repeat. This we will sing, singing, standing in place of the doxology.
Thank you for your words, Mr. Braun. We certainly hope that that light may be guide upon our path and for each of us in the congregation. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.